You're listening to the Sunday Messages podcast brought to you by Cypress Creek Church.
We're going to continue our series on the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter 6, 15 verses this morning, 15 verse chapter, where we see a growing church. And praise the Lord, we hear this morning in this time, we're seeing this church family grow. And so I'm really looking forward to digging in and talk about how the early church teaches us today in this culture and in this time how to do church, because there's nothing new under the sun, no matter what Instagram may tell you. No matter what the news will say, there's a time and a place for everything, and we just tend to repeat. And these verses are so important for us as we think about a growing church and how to make a growing church feel small. Let me recap where we've been. So the book of Acts talks about the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. So we see really the most important day in the church, which is the day of Pentecost, the day that God delegated his Spirit and empowered imperfect people like you and I to go reach the world. The most important day, I think, in human history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we see that when Pentecost came, his Spirit indwelled in these broken vessels. And here we are today because of the obedience and the faith of those that have come before us, generations, generations. And then we see that they lived happily ever after. No, we see that there were a lot of problems. There were problems outside of the church, persecution. There were problems inside of the church as well. There was pretension. There was greed. There were these little lies. And this morning, we're going to see another problem that came from within the church. And then we'll see a problem from outside of the church. And so if you've got problems, this is the Sunday for you. We all have problems. I got problems. And in these verses, we read about church problems. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Verse 1 of chapter 6 says this: "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution." All right, so here's what's going on. We have two groups of people, the Hellenists and the Hebrews. The Hebrews, probably you can tell, they're Jewish. They're Hebrew-speaking. The Hellenists are not from hell. They are Greek-speaking Jewish people. There's no Gentiles yet. There's no non-Jews in the story that we're in yet in Acts. So two different speaking groups. Now, anybody else learn English as a second language this morning? I'm one. Anybody else? Nobody else? Gracias, Samuel, Lily, vamos, no me dejen solo. Patsy, you too? Yeah, don't be ashamed. We're ESL, and I'm proud of it. So last gathering, we had somebody from Switzerland here, some ministry folks that were visiting, Pastor Mel, who's been coming to the 830. He's 90 years young, and so his friends were here from Switzerland. It was fun to celebrate them. And then this morning, we also have a very special guest, Pastor Peter from Uganda. Pastor Peter, can I ask you to stand, please, so that we can recognize you? So glad to have you here with us. We had our ministry partners, Morris and Ida, from Uganda, Mbale, Uganda. I've been there. Mike and Mary Thrasher lead a trip there. And they got to meet Pastor Peter, who is here this morning. And so I love when the nations come upon Wimberley, Texas. I think God smiles when that happens. And thankfully, it happens pretty frequently. It will continue to happen in the weeks to come. But Pastor Peter, welcome. Pastor Rob sitting next to him. I'm going to talk about you in just a little bit, but let me continue on with the Hellenists. They're Greek-speaking. Hebrew-speaking are the Hebrews, and there is a complaint amidst of growing church. That doesn't happen today, does it? When complaints happen alongside growth in a church, that was sarcasm. It's not a good thing sometimes up here because it can be misinterpreted. My point is, absolutely, complaints happen, especially given the fact that we have so many different backgrounds. We come from different church backgrounds. We all grew up a certain way, maybe not going to church, maybe going to a certain denomination or doing this or that. We're also generationally different. Everybody wave at me. I just want to get everybody nice and loose. We're going to do this fun exercise. If you are a high school student, can you wave at me? High school students, wave at me. There you go. Awesome. 20s, college students, wave at me. College students, wave at me. I knew there'd be a lot of you guys in this gathering. Wow. They're happy you're here. So am I. Non-college students, 20s and 30s, wave at me. Wave at, no, Rob, you're not. No, 20s and 30s. Hey, I'm also doing it in 20-year increments to help you out. I'm not like calling out the 39-year-olds that want to be 21. Okay, so 40s and 50s. 60s and 70s, 20-year increments. All right, here we go now. 80s, come on, 80s, yes. Bob's out there driving golf carts, he counts too. And I want to ask this because we had two last gathering. Any 90s or older? 90s or older? Thank you for blessing us with your presence. Awesome. So we were all born in different generations. By the way, that which we just did is an absolute gift, that you can see that many hands go up through the different generations, something that we ought to keep and something that we recognize because we're humans with preferences. I'll start. I have preferences. I have opinions. I have ideas. We all need to learn how to keep the main thing the main thing. What the apostles are doing in verse 2, let me move on and read it. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. They weren't neglecting or ignoring the needs of the church. They were simply elevating the mission. They were saying what's most important, mission critical for those 12 were to devote themselves to prayer and reading the Bible. At that time, they're actually writing the Bible, subtle flex, but the ministry of the word was being written down as they were orating, as they were speaking forth. Beautiful. One only time we have this closed canon, this is it. But back then, what they're saying is that what's most significant in a church is for there to be prayer and for there to be the word, the ministry of the word. Let me talk about some distractions that can get in the word, in the way of this. Again, speaking about preferences, I won't ask you to raise your hands unless you feel very bold about your position, then feel free to raise your hand, judgment free, and if you want to talk later, I'm here. So let's talk about song preferences. Some of us, we're up here this morning. So you're like, those are my songs. Those lead me to the throne room of Jesus. And then others of you are like, they're not hymns. So I'm going to stay here or just in here. Or you're like, I'm just going to sit because it's too loud. We have preferences, don't we? It's okay. We all have them. What about different, what you wear to church? I'm wearing rolled up sleeves with sneakers. Can be an issue depending how you grew up in church. I wore a suit last week, and some of y'all were like, hey, you look pretty good in a suit. I'm like, is that a subtle way of saying you should wear something nicer to church? Here's my point of view. As long as you're in church, we're good. All right? So come to church no matter what you're wearing. Just wear something, and you'll be good. And then in due time, we're all on a journey to get closer to the Lord. Halloween's coming up. This is a big one. Preference. Parents, trick-or-treating, no trick-or-treating. Do you dress up? No. Strong opinions. I'm just warming you up. What about Easter Sunday? Some have strong preference. It's Resurrection Day. It's not Easter Sunday. That's pagan, maybe, but that communicates across to everybody. Some have opinions about helicopters on Easter. Bunnies don't elevate high, so the resurrection of Christ needs to be celebrated by the power of ExxonMobil and delivered eggs. That's not really true. It's just fun to drop eggs because we get a good deal on the chopper. Anyway, so strong preferences, right? You're like, why is church? Why aren't we doing this? The Oaks Park pressed a lot of buttons. Why are we building a park and not giving money to missions? Did you know that 10% of our expenses go outside of the walls of Cypress Creek Church? In the park was built so that we can reach our community. So that is the why behind the park. I'm just warming up. Politics. Do we have preferences on politics and church? No. Of course we do. And here, what we've always said is that our faith always informs our politics. So we stand on the stances of what the Bible says, and we say that it is so because Jesus said so. The Bible tells me so. And we are always kingdom citizens before we're American citizens. Amen? So we always believe that we are here to bow before the lamb, not any donkey or elephant. But we always have preferences. Well, we could do this or we could do that. What about this one? Community groups versus Bible study. Preferences, community group, maybe too casual, maybe too much into our lives, how we're doing, ups and downs. Bible study, we need to get deep into the word. You see how those two may be tense. It's more about what you know sometimes than how you're being transformed. Here is where I want to land this, what I thought was a fun little segment. Hopefully you did too. If not, come talk to me. I have an open door policy. We can go there. Philippians 3, verse 7. The Apostle Paul is speaking about how right he can be. He was trained as a Pharisee, meaning higher echelon of Jewish society then. He was well-schooled. He knew all the right answers. Does our culture like to be right? We spend so much time on these molehills sometimes, and we miss the mountain arguments. We miss the important things. And so what Paul is saying is like, look, I may be right, but he says that this is more important. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, which is British, by the way, for trash, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more significant that we need to elevate than the mission of knowing Jesus and making him known. That is the most important thing. And the apostles are saying, hey, we have this problem. We have this tension, this disagreement, but we're going to elevate the mission and be about the ministry of the word and prayer. That's primary. That's what we need to do. And then they do something unbelievable. They delegate authority. Peter Greer, who wrote this book called Mission Drift, says this. He also founded this organization called Hope International. They helped ministries all over the world thrive, specifically through microfinancing. But he says, mission drift, without careful attention, faith-based organizations will inevitably drift from their founding mission. If you don't have your why labeled, if you're not going after Jesus, the main thing, then it's easy to drift and get distracted, especially when you're growing, when things are going well. That gives us more opportunities to do this, this, or that. But it's super important to maintain our focus. And my friends, praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our church is growing. We're in that season right now that we are experiencing incredible growth. I came to this church when I was 18 years old, freshman at Texas State University, just a couple years ago, and I was welcomed in. I was lost. I was living in darkness, but this group was so graceful with me. I had a lot of opinions about this, this, and that, but God, by his mercy, started shaving, really was my ego and my insecurities, and I was brought into this church family. I came as a student pastor in 2014, 2020, started as a lead pastor. Who's been here since 2020? Raise your hands. January 2020. There's the remnant. I knew there was going to be a few of us. And just last week, we had 450 more people in our Sunday gatherings than we did last year this time. So we increased by 40%. And the reason why I want to say that is because with more people come more problems. And these are good problems. Don't hear me wrong. Really good problems. We've been talking about this phrase, how do we scale our level of care? How do we scale care? Because we want to meet needs, the spiritual needs of everybody. We want to reach a lost community. We want to empower people to go overseas. We want to grow to become more like Jesus. And we want to foster this sense of belonging here in this place. How do we scale that? How do we get smaller as we grow? Two things. One is please go to Discovery. If you're wanting to know, what do I need to do? Discovery, we've revamped it so that as we grow as a church, we can also get smaller by knowing one another in tables, learning more about the church, learning what partnership really looks like. I'm done there. Two, this church has always been about Jesus and about getting smaller, not bigger. We've always been about small groups, about knowing one another, not just hearing a good message and then going up, but living life on mission with one another. 1993, 46 people. I know two are here. Valentines are here. Anybody else here from 93? And then we have our founding pastor, Rob Campbell. Rob, we don't do this enough. Can you stand so that we can honor you and thank you for founding this church in your living room? 33 years ago, and here we are. We haven't drifted from the mission. The mission has been about Jesus. The mission has been about getting smaller. Peter Meterlin is quoted in saying, in essentials, unity. So in the big things, we need to be united. In non-essentials, liberty. These are open-handed things that we can agree and disagree about. We have many preferences, but the power is not in just our diverse preferences. The power is that no matter what, in all things, he wrote, charity, being grace-filled, overseeing the little things so that we can hold on to the big things. And there are some big things in church that can cause a lot of issues, such as not believing that Jesus is the Son of God. If you're here and you don't know Jesus or you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, I'm so glad that you're here. I'd love for you to come back. But this church unashamedly believes that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that only by his perfect life and perfect sacrifice we can be adopted sons and daughters in this life and the next. That this Bible isn't just a good book. It isn't just a little guidebook. It is the living and active word of God that is cutting us, convicting us, and guiding us into all truth. We believe that. Those are important things. And then there's some other things that we can just say, you know, we can differ in, for example, eschatology. Is Jesus coming back in? Like tomorrow, is Jesus coming back later? When he comes back, are we going to go up? Are we going to hang out here and go through some hard times? Here's the bottom line. Whoever's right, we'll all be in heaven one day and we won't care who was right and who was wrong because we'll be in heaven and those little things won't matter as much. The apostles are saying, keep the main thing, the main thing. 1 Peter 4:8, here's how Peter says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. We cannot underestimate the power of grace when we extend it, the power of loving, of choosing to say, you know what, I disagree, but I'm going to love you anyway. My friends, our culture is telling us to do the opposite, that if you disagree about anything, that you need to be mortal enemies, that you need to fight until someone is proven right. And let's take this as a sign for us, you know, we can love one another, and that can cover over a multitude of sins. They elevated the mission, and then they delegated authority. Verse 3, therefore, brothers, so we're back to the text. The brothers are all of the assembly, thousands and thousands and thousands gathered. The apostles have gathered them to talk about this problem. Pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. There they go. They're elevating the mission there. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose 7 men. Here are the 7. First two, we'll read more in future weeks. Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip. Those two play a critical part in the book of Acts. And then there's the rest. Procurus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Here's what's interesting about these 7. They're all Hellenist Jews. Again, not from hell, just Greek-speaking Jews. The Hebrews didn't get a single dude in this mix, because sometimes it's not about having fair, equal. Well, that's not fair. Well, that's what I tell my kids. And what's the best answer to that? Life is not fair. It's about what's right in any given moment. And for whatever reason, we don't know why, but we just know that these men were selected. Mission was elevated and authority was delegated. That's the second point of how to make a growing pain into a kingdom gain. Because growing pains can sometimes take us out of the gain. But when we have eyes to see and prioritize things the way that God's asked us to, growing pains can bring about kingdom gains. And it's interesting that they delegated authority not just to these 7 men to feed the widows, but they delegated authority. The apostles delegated the authority to thousands to select which 7. We don't know how long they were there. We don't know what method of voting. Did they cast lots? Did they just echo and pray and say, hey, say your favorite name in a count of 3, and then they just chose? We don't know how, but we know that authority was delegated from the apostles. Rob, 33 years ago, first pastor on staff, was not a student pastor or a college pastor, wasn't an associate pastor, was a prayer pastor. That's the first hire of this church 33 years ago, because when we devote ourselves to prayer first, it's amazing what happens. We trust God more. When we meet on Tuesday mornings as a staff, the first thing that we do is we pray for ourselves in groups of 3 or 4. We pray over our week. We pray over our lives. And then we pray for 4 things in this church. We pray for salvations. We pray for healing, physical healing, emotional healing, relational healing. We pray for unity, that God would maintain the unity of the body. And we pray for activation, that gifts would be activated in this church so that the load can be shared. And as we grow, it's not a one-man show. I did not sign up to pastor a church this size. I showed up to pastor a church that I could know people and care for people. That was my why. That was my why. God is the one that has grown this church. Not once have our overseers, who, by the way, that is my accountability. We're in a season right now of praying for 2 overseers, Carl and Zach, overseers at cypresscreekchurch.com, if you have any questions, thoughts on that. But we don't rule by voting. We rule by consensus, meaning that when we come to a point where we need to make a decision and we're not all on board, we'll wait. And then we'll do this radical thing if we don't all agree. We'll pray. We'll give it a week. We'll come back the next week and we'll discuss it. Why? Because that is how God leads, when we wait on him. When we say, Lord, we don't want to hoard all the authority. We don't want to make all the decisions. We want to simply ask you, because you're much smarter than we are, wiser than we are. You're sovereign, Lord of Lords. Lead us. And you know what? God has not failed us yet. I've made mistakes. I've missed things. But God remains the same. He is faithful. So I talked about overseers. I talked about me. You may say, thank God, whew, I'm not on staff. This is the first time that we really see deacons, 1 Timothy 3. It's where we read about deacons, Titus 1. Deacons are servants. That's literally what that word means. Community group leaders are deacons. You're like, whew, I'm good. This doesn't pertain to me. Those leaders got to get their act together, and I'm off on this one. Well, Here's the deal. You're in full-time ministry, whether you like it or not. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're called to a full-time role for the kingdom of God. You may not be on the payroll for a church, but your ministry is full-time, whether you're a student, whether you are a stay-at-home mom, whether you're high up in the workplace, or you're just getting started, or maybe you were high up, now you're not, and you're like, yeah, I just kind of lost authority. I'm good not being in charge. You can make a difference. In fact, the church has grown not on the backs of single-handed leaders. The church has grown on healthy, not organizations, but organisms that believe these words that Peter uttered in his letter, 1 Peter 2:9, that you, us, we, plural, were a chosen race, meaning that we may come from different places, but together we're the people of God. We're a royal priesthood. What? We can all enter into the temple. We all have the Holy Spirit of God. We have a relationship with the King of Kings. We're a holy nation, not just one country, multiple people groups making up one kingdom people, kingdom nation, a people for his own possession. We belong to God. We're sons and daughters, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You're in full-time ministry. Here is how you can walk your ministry out. You can talk about how you went from darkness into light. You can share part of your story. Hey, look, here's this hard thing that I went through. Here's this battle with addiction. Here's this anxiety that I've been carrying, and I cast it on God because he cared for me, and now I'm a little lighter. I'm not better, all the way better, but I'm a little better. I gather around this church on Sunday mornings, and then I go to this thing called community group where I open up to other people, and they pray for me, and hey, there's a place for you if this is something that you need. That's what it looks like to proclaim the excellencies of God, to share your story, to share the gospel message, to say, hey, I really do believe that Jesus is the only way, that apart from him, there is no way that we can get into heaven. It's through the narrow gate. It's by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that he raised him from the dead. Maybe that can bring up a conversation in your workplace or with your family. On Sunday morning, let me take just a little bit more to talk about what it takes to pull off a Sunday morning. Did you know that there's over 70 volunteer positions every single Sunday morning at every gathering? If I do my math right, that's 210. Did I get that right? 210 on any given Sunday morning. Now, many of those are duplicate. You serve multiple gatherings. Point is, there are many ways that we can serve not only those people out there, but also the needs in here. This authority is delegated. By the way, servecardccc.guide, off my soapbox. Last, verse 6. Let's see what happens when mission is elevated, when authority is delegated, verse 6. And they set before the apostles, so the seven men came before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them, and check this out, I love verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Wow. So not only was the word preached, not only was understanding of what it says and it's significant in our lives, and you're like, well, I'm going to reorient my life to live this way now, not the way that I was living. I'm going to, you know, give, not because I have to, but because I get to. I'm going to serve my church, not because I feel pressured to, but because I find it, I come alive when I serve. And by the way, did you know that when you serve, I forgot to mention this last time, if you have children, that the chances of your children to participate in church on their own when they graduate from your home goes through the roof when they see you serving your church. Why? Because we're making disciples whether we want to or not. Our children, those people that are around in our life, they're watching us. But let me go back to this multiplication. So the word of God was increasing and the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. I find one of the greatest paradoxes that we're living is that the church is growing in Wimberley, Texas. It's not growing in a city. It's growing in a town where people come to get away from other people. You know, people move to Wimberley to not deal with traffic, to not deal with people sitting next to you, people living right next to you, right? And I just love the paradox that the kingdom is being furthered here in a special way in a small town. Hallelujah. Amen. Keep going, God, because he's doing something great. And great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. These were the enemies that are now friends. The priests were those that were in prior chapters persecuting and bringing all this pressure on the church. And now we're seeing this pattern of those that hated, that persecuted, now coming into the flock. And it won't stop now. We haven't met Paul yet in the story of Acts. Before Paul, we need to meet this man. Now, we're not going to zoom in and have our final point this morning. And Stephen. We already heard about Stephen. Stephen was one of the seven. And Stephen was full of grace and power. Has anyone ever said that about you? Oh, yeah, you know, Tim, full of grace and power. Yeah, Lauren, full of grace and power. I love this combo. This is a good mix right here. And Stephen had it, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. This passage, we see mission elevated, we see authority delegated, and we see grit activated through Stephen's example. He goes on in verse 9. It says, then some of those who belonged to the synagogue and of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and of those from Cilicia and Asia, again, these are Hellenist. These are people from the outside of Jerusalem coming in. They were Jewish. They weren't believers. They rose up and they disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Why? Because he was full of grace and power. Verse 11, and then they secretly instigated men who said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Does this sound familiar? Hey, that guy over there. Hey, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Hey, they talked about this and that, and they were talking to you behind your back. Instigating against Stephen. And they stirred up the people, verse 12, and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him. They seized him and they brought him before the council and they set up false witnesses who said, this man never ceases to speak against the words of this holy place and the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. It's not talking about a cheesy Christian, you know, song or movie. It's talking about the same thing that happened when Moses descended from the mountain. He had been in the presence of God. He received the law. Now Moses, full of God's Holy Spirit, his face was glowing. Jesus, later, we read that he went up to the mountain. Peter was there with him, with James and John. They were in this, they were in the presence of God as Jesus was being transfigured. He was hanging out with Moses and Elijah. And it was so holy that Peter tried to like cover it up in some way. And we see it again that literally Stephen was shining. He was gleaming. He was the light of the world. Why? Well, full of grace and power because what we read earlier, he was full of faith. Friends, we live in times where we need to activate this spiritual grit like what Stephen is going through. We need to be full of grace and know that it is only by the grace of God that we are saved and that anybody else can be saved, and power being willing to stand for what is right and being willing to lay down the desire to be right and the desire to hold on to this. Stephen is modeling it here as he's being persecuted, he's being blasphemed, he's doing what the culture does all the time. Those Christians, those people, you know, this and that. Listen, when we receive Jesus, when we say yes to him with our mouth, when we believe in him in our hearts, we get this gift. We're indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God that can help us in any moment, that can help us, fill us with grace and power. The way that I want to close this morning is by asking him to fill us, each and every one of us, with his grace and his power that can only come from believing that Jesus is the Son of God. That believing that when we are with Jesus, that's how we're actually recharged. Vacations are great. Sometimes watching a good show is great. Sports are definitely great. But only one thing can truly bring about this power. And that when people see us out there, they're like, man, there's something different about them. That there's something that I'm attracted to that makes me maybe want to live different. Put down these walls and surrender. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, just know that we can receive the gift of Jesus anytime. We can receive the gift of Jesus this morning. And if you know Jesus and you need to be refueled, I'm going to pray for us and also wonder, maybe God's calling you to lay something down. You can kneel here in the front, call it the altar, or you can come and pray with someone. But what would it look like for us to recharge here, to be with Jesus here, to be filled up with his grace and power before we go out there as ones who have been delegated authority so that we can elevate the mission in this world? Would you pray with me? And if you want to sit, stay seated. If you want to stand, please stand. Father, I ask for your power to come upon us as we close. Holy Spirit power that changes us from the inside out. That starts in the innermost places of our hearts that you can only see, God. Lord, may we be obedient to anything you may be calling us to lay down, set aside, move out from, or move into. We're praying, God, because we need your help. We need your leadership. Just like you did then, we know you lead us now. Ultimately, we want to glorify you, Jesus. Make your name famous in our lives, in the life of our family, in our community. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sunday Messages podcast. You can dive deeper into the messages weekly by subscribing to the Conversations podcast, where we dig into the previous Sunday's message, unpacking how we can apply it further in our daily lives. See you again next week.